my brothers and sisters. In the first reading from the book of Leviticus, God tells the people through Moses, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, is holy." And Jesus, in the gospel reading, not only echoes this, he actually ups the ante, so to speak, saying, "Be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." Quite a tall request when we think about perfect. But we must strive for perfection if we're truly striving to be disciples of Jesus Christ, who himself was perfect. The disciple tries to be just like the master. A lot of people scoff at this more and more these days. In fact, in 2018, and I know I talk about him a lot, but I find him tremendously engaging and accessible. He's immensely prolific and popular. Matthew Kelly, the Catholic writer from Australia, layperson, family man. And he wrote in 2018 a little book called The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. And he doesn't wait till the last page for the reveal. He tells you right up front that the biggest lie is that we really can't grow in holiness, that we really don't become better. In fact, not only can we grow in holiness, we must grow in holiness. It is the only way to true peace, happiness, and reconciliation in this world, and eternal happiness in the next. Now let us go back to the gospel reading, where Jesus is saying, "Look, you have got to crank it up to the next level. Moses gave the old law, but now it's time to take the next step, to become a better version of yourself," to use Kelly's nomenclature. He says, "You have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." But he tells us, "Offer no resistance, turn the other cheek." Seemingly impossible to do at times, but with God, all things are possible. I know that the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth thing seems a little vengeful, but to give a little bit of the background of the law, it was really given to contain vengeance. For example, somebody gouged out your eye, you could only in justice give what you got, even Stephen. You're entitled to do the same to your enemy, but no more. Same thing with the tooth. But let's be honest with ourselves, my brothers and sisters. Does it ever really stop there? Or does violence just beget more violence? And the whole thing continues to spin and spin until it's absolutely out of control. Mahatma Gandhi, the great spiritual and political leader of India in the mid-20th century, who through passive resistance, through non-cooperation with the British government that was oppressing and occupying the nation, quoted famously as saying, "An eye for an eye does nothing but make the whole world blind." And how true, how true. We really need examples, though, to encourage us to believe that it is possible to do these things with the help of God, and that it does make a difference. I think of the lives of the saints, and I think of the life of Saint Peregrine. He was a priest who, from Italy, was, like Saint Paul and Saint Augustine, an active enemy against the church, did not believe in Catholic Christianity. And another priest, Saint Philip of Benizi, when trying to reason with Peregrine, got a slap in the face. Such disrespect and disregard did Peregrine have for the office of priest and for a fellow human being. But it was when St. Philip turned the other cheek that he turned the soul of St. Peregrine to tenderness and opened his mind to Christianity. And not only did Peregrine, of course, become a Catholic, he was ordained a priest and went on to be the saint, the patron saint of people with cancer and other severe illnesses. And it goes beyond the lives of the saints that we know. A story that I absolutely love to share, purportedly to be a true story, that took place during the Revolutionary War in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, where there was a Protestant minister, a Reverend Peter Miller, who had an arch enemy who, for some reason, malignantly bad-mouthed, scandalized, spread lies about the Reverend. He was a soldier in the army under General Washington, and he just had it out for Reverend Miller. And of course, a bad character like this Michael Whitman eventually, figuratively, shot himself in the foot, committed some sort of treasonous act, and was going to be court-martialed and probably executed. Reverend Miller learned that Michael Whitman's trial was going to be in Pennsylvania and that the general himself, Washington, was going to preside at it. Now, Reverend Miller walked 70 miles on foot to be at this trial. And he asked his friend, he knew General Washington, if he could plead for Michael Whitman's clemency. And General Washington said, "Reverend, I cannot pardon this man simply because he's your friend." And that's when the Reverend said to the general, "Oh, I am not here because he's my friend. I am here because he is my bitterest enemy." And he explained the whole story. And he said, "I'm here so that he might not only maybe spared a death sentence in this life, but one for eternal life." And General Washington released Michael Whitman into the custody of Reverend Miller. And the two of them walked home 70 miles back to Ephrata, Pennsylvania, no longer enemies, but the closest of friends, eventually. That's how you get rid of an enemy, really, not the mafia way. But you might say, it seems still impossible. How can I do this? With God, all things are possible by opening up to His grace. And as I said, here comes Lent, ready or not. And it forces us to take stock of where we're at in our journey with Jesus. It forces us, if we're really wanting to do it right, to see our sins and shortcomings, to ask forgiveness and open up to God's grace. And we do this especially all the time, but especially during Lent, in the three ways we will hear Jesus present to us again in the Gospel on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday: prayer, fasting, and works of mercy. I've written about this in the bulletin, and you can read that, but just to touch a little bit on it, all of us should have been praying, and if not before, at least now until Wednesday, so that we know what it is God wants us to do in the way of prayer above and beyond our regular prayer regimen. If we're not in the habit of praying the Rosary daily or the Divine Mercy Chaplet, that's a good idea. Reading a little bit of a book like Matthew Kelly's is another great idea. One of the things I'm going to do, I bought this ages ago. It's called 40 Days with Jesus, from the people who bring us the great TV show The Chosen, about the life of Christ. It is really in that spirit, where each day has a reflection, where a character, a real true person from the gospel, we get his or her point of view to see Jesus with fresh eyes in a very personal way that kind of opens up the sparseness of the gospel story. And so these are just ideas, but something above and beyond what we usually do. Fasting. Now, I know some people say, well, and this was a very popular attitude when I was a kid, It's like, it's not about what you're giving up, it's about who you're becoming. I'm not going to give anything up, I'm going to do something extra. Well, the answer to that is, are they mutually exclusive? Jesus gives us all three and commands us to do all three in the gospel on Wednesday. Can we ignore that? No. These are three legs of a stool upon which our Lenten program stands. So we should be praying about what we need to give up. In the second reading, St. Paul says, all good things are given to us. But you know what? Good things can be abused, and then they become bad things for us. So what are we overly attached to? God gives us such good gifts. What are we overly attached to where the actual gift is eclipsing our love for the one who gives it? And maybe that's something we need to put aside during Lent so that we can get it back and use it according to the will of God and in the process of grown holier. And works of mercy, also known as almsgiving or acts of kindness, above and beyond what we usually do. For example, each one of us, I think, in our lives have people who we know we should pick up the phone and call, or go and give a visit, reach out to some person lonely or in need. And incidentally, folks, you know, there's an old saying, if you want to know the sins of the preacher, listen to his sermons. I'm really laying out my Lenten program for y'all. And it's important that I admit that because I don't stand up here saying, oh, do this. I used to do that, but I'm perfect now. No. I am just like you, a sinner who needs to do all this stuff and journey together with you and with Jesus to greater holiness at Easter. Let us not be discouraged. Don't buy into the biggest lie, which it must be, because God gave us the command to be holy, and Jesus gave us the command to be perfect, which means it is possible and necessary, because guess what? Jesus doesn't lie to us. Never. God love you.